Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. The presidential contest is already in full force. It won't happen until November 2016. That's a year and a half away. But that hasn't prevented all of the candidates. There's Hillary Clinton on the Democratic side, and I think there's some others, right? Doesn't matter. And there are 16 Republicans? I'm not sure. I've lost count. But the lead Republican, or the formerly lead Republican, or the guy that everybody's talking about this week, or last week, or all week long, because he keeps changing his story, is Jeb Bush, the brother of George Bush. You remember George W. Bush. He used to be president. Remember, Gore won the election, the Supreme Court chose him to be president. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know. It's easy to forget when we want to forget. But his brother, Jeb Bush, the former governor of Florida, is a bit confused on what his views are with regard to the Iraq War, particularly when you ask him the hypothetical question, if you knew then what you knew now. And the person who asked him that hypothetical question, excuse me, was a bit of a surprise for those of us who regularly appear on Fox News. It was Megyn Kelly, the host of a show that generally errs on the side of being on the right. Well, she asked Jeb Bush a question that, frankly, I think he should have been prepared for. If you knew at the time of the Iraq War what you know now, namely that there's no weapons of mass destruction, that it would lead to a massive civil war in Iraq and Syria where millions would be killed and we'd have massive militias fighting each other, Sunnis and Shias, and we've talked about this. I've done whole shows about this, about the various Shia militias, the various Sunni militias, and how Saudi Arabia and Iran are in a long fight for hegemony, and basically there are very few good guys. Very few good guys in this story. Saddam Hussein was a bad guy. Now we have not one bad guy, but several bad people all fighting each other, all killing. If you'd known then what you know now, Jeb Bush, would you have agreed to the Iraq War? Well, first, he misunderstood the question. Let's play, if we could, Mark, the first clip of George Bush, Jeb Bush, the first time this question was asked of him.
Knowing what we know now, would you have authorized the invasion?
I would have, and so would have Hillary Clinton, just to remind everybody, and so would have almost everybody that was confronted with the intelligence they got.
I answer.
Okay, so that was the first answer. I guess this clip shows all his answers. Is that what it does, Mark? Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's play them all, and then we'll unpack each of them individually. So let's play the clip from the beginning. Try to understand all his various answers at once, if you can, because it's tough. Let's play it from the top, and I'll be quiet. Let's finish the clip.
Knowing what we know now, would you have authorized the invasion?
I would have, and so would have Hillary Clinton, just to remind everybody, and so would have almost everybody that was confronted with the intelligence they got.
I interpreted the question wrong, I guess. I was talking about, given what people knew then, would you have done it, rather than knowing what we know now.
So in other words, if in 2020 hindsight, you would make a different decision.
Yeah, I don't know what that decision would have been. That's a hypothetical, but the simple fact is that mistakes were made.
I mean, there's no way for me to have, what she said was, knowing what we know now, what would you have done? Whatever I heard, it was translated, knowing what you knew then, what would you do? And I answered it honestly, and I answered it the way I will answer all the time, which is that there were mistakes made, but based on the information that we had, it was the right decision.
I think we need to re-engage and do it in a more forceful way than the president is very reluctant, for whatever reason, to make a clear commitment that we should have kept,
5,000, 10,000 troops there.
If we're all supposed to answer hypothetical questions, knowing what we know now, what would you have done? I would have not engaged. I would not have gone into Iraq. That's not to say that the world is safer because Saddam Hussein is gone. It is significantly safer. That's not to say that there was a courageous effort to bring about a surge that created stability in Iraq. All of that is true, and that's not to say that the men and women that have served in uniform and many others that went to Iraq to serve did so certainly honorably. But we've answered the question now.
Okay, that's not even all the answers he gave. Just to be clear, thank you for that clip, Mark. It showed a lot of his answers. It didn't show all of them, including the one where he blamed asking the question. He suggested that asking the question was somehow an insult to the men and women, mostly men, who served and died in Iraq. That's him saying mostly men. That's not me. I want to be very clear about that. So let's unpack poor Jeb Bush, because what he said, he's in a bind. He is. You see, he's asked a very simple question. If you knew all the things we know now about the Iraq War, because we were lied to going into the Iraq War, you see, by his brother, George Bush, and others in the administration, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, others. But if we knew that his brother was lying to us and the people who work for or control his brother, it's hard to tell which sometimes, would he still have support of the war? Well, he's in a bind, because if he says he would not have, that makes his brother look bad for basically giving us faulty intelligence. But if he says he would have gone, he looks absolutely clueless, given the fact that we now know that we went in based on a lie. So admittedly, he's in a bind. So the first thing he does in his bind is blame Hillary. And that's when he says, well, you know, Hillary Clinton voted for the war, too. Well, she did. And we can talk about that and condemn her for her choice. But Hillary didn't know then what she knows now. We were lied to then. Whatever you think of Hillary's choice, at least we could safely say it was based on lies from the Bush administration. So maybe she was wrong to believe those lies, and that's a fair critique of Hillary Clinton, but she wasn't wrong to go to war based on, if, this is hard to say, it's very hard to even think about, if the lies were true, that would be one thing. But clearly Hillary Clinton's very clear that if she had known then what she knows now, she would not authorize the war in Iraq. So first Bush response, don't answer the question, blame Hillary. Okay. The next response is to say, I misunderstood the question. I don't understand hypothetical questions. I thought that Megan was asking me the much easier question, what would I have done at the time, not knowing then what I know now, which is how she began the question, right? But then he uses the wonderful passive tense. Mistakes were made. Mistakes were made. The earth is round. People walk and run and go ahead in a wheelchair. Mistakes were made. Who made the mistakes? Oh, I don't know. We're not going to actually say that his brother made the mistakes or people in his administration, because then he'd have to be pointing fingers and stuff. So mistakes were made. Wonder who made those mistakes. Don't know. Don't have to say. But you know, we're all human. We all make mistakes. We all accidentally go into a war where $2 trillion is spent and thousands of Americans are killed, tens of thousands are wounded, hundreds of thousands of Iraqis are dead. Now millions of Syrians are dead. And, mistakes were made. Vietnam, mistakes were made. You know, things happen. Oh, well. Oh, well. Okay. So that didn't cut it, even though he's responding to Sean Hannity, who is a fairly sympathetic questioner. So now blame Hillary didn't succeed. Mistakes were made, and I'm not going to answer the question, didn't succeed, even though it came on Sean Hannity. His next response is blame Obama. See, if you can't blame Hillary, blame Obama. Well, President Obama should have kept our troops in Iraq. You know what? Maybe Obama should have kept our troops in Iraq. It's really hard to know. Once someone messes something up, the best way to clean it up. You know, if you got a little a bee and it stings you, and you say, we got to stop those bees. Your friend says, we got to stop those bees. So he takes a bat to a beehive. And you say, no, wait, no. And he slams the beehive. And swarms of bees come out. And you're stung 100 times. How you, after your friend knocks that beehive with his bat, how you try to clean the mess, maybe you should run inside. Maybe you should jump water. Maybe you should, I don't know what. It's really hard at that point. We can discuss. Maybe President Obama did the wrong thing in Iraq. But that wasn't the question that Jeb Bush was asked. The question he was asked is, what would you have done at the beginning, knowing then what you know now? Not how should Obama have cleaned up George Bush's mess, which admittedly is a much tougher question. So his next response, this is the one that actually isn't in the the clip that was played just there. He said, the problem with, he blames the hypotheticals. Blame the hypothetical question. If you can't answer the question, attack the questioner. He said, the problem with hypotheticals is twofold. One, when I was governor, I felt it a duty, I didn't have to call all the family members of people who lost their lives, and I don't remember the total number, but it was easily over 100, and I felt it a duty to do that because I admired the sacrifice of their families, and I admired the men and women, mostly men, that made the ultimate sacrifice. So going back in time and talking about hypotheticals, what would have happened, what could have happened, I think does a disservice to him, for them. If that sounded incoherent, I apologize. I read it verbatim. So blame Hillary. That didn't work. Say mistakes were made and don't really answer the question. Yeah, that didn't solve it.
That was his brother. Sound familiar?
Oh, that's right. George, thank you, Mark. That was George Bush. Mistakes were made. Yeah. You know, that's a great way. I could just see, can't you just see the mom with the five-year-old and the cookie jar is overturned and all the cookies are on the floor and he's got a whole mess all over his face with chocolate and everything and, the cookies are ground into the carpet and mom says, what have you done, Johnny? And he says, mistakes were made.
Mistakes were made.
Wouldn't that be great? Shouldn't we teach all our toddlers? That's the answer to all problems. Mistakes were made. All right, so first he blames Hillary. Then he says mistakes were made. Then he blames Obama for not fixing what his brother messed up in the correct way. Then he blames the hypothetical question. That's what I just read to you. And that's where he basically says, look, I'm patriotic. I had to deal with calling the people who died, their families, which really pulls out the heartstrings. But then it's like, well, what if they didn't have to die because the whole war was a mistake? I think that really matters. But no, Jeb Bush says it's a disservice. It's a disservice to our veterans to question whether or not we should have sent them off to die. Wow. I think it would be a service for our veterans to question whether or not we sent them off to die. I think that's actually an extremely valuable question. So then he finally, the fourth day, he finally says, all right, if I knew then what I knew now, I wouldn't have done the war in Iraq. But that's not to say, he immediately goes back on what he just said, that's not to say the world's not safer without Saddam Hussein. You know what, Jeb? I'm going to say it. The world is not safer without Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein was a really bad guy. But the situation today in the Middle East, I dare say, is worse. Between Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra and ISIS and Iran and Hezbollah and Assad and all the various murderous groups all killing each other and millions of people dead, Saddam Hussein was a bad guy. The bee that stung me, in my hypothetical, I like bees, but it's bad to be stung. It's a lot better than cracking the beehive open. No, we are not better off because of the Iraq War. And Jeb Bush, knowing that, what would you have done? I still don't think he's answered the question. But I want to know what you think. What's your view on Jeb Bush's 7 different positions on Iraq, all in 4 days? Give me a call, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
schooling the GOP, one hand tied behind his back, the Constitution in the other. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about Jeb Bush's various answers on May 10th and May 12th and May 13th and May 14th and May 14th again. It's really hard to keep it straight. And don't worry, it's not your fault. It's his. He doesn't really know how he feels. I guess he doesn't want to insult his brother and lose all those votes, but it's really hard to deny the truth today, isn't it? 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Dave, from Humboldt County. How are you, sir?
Well, Mark, I know a lot of what I've learned over the years has been from listening to you, but on this particular one, I have to believe that the question to Jeb Bush and his answer is all one big attempt to mislead us. It is an attempt to take us down a road of smoke and mirrors. That is to say that from the onset, I learned from you back, PNAC had different plans altogether for why they wanted to invade in the Middle East.
Yeah, they divided up Iraq's oil fields according to the Price of Loyalty book. Oops. Yikes. That was going to get the Bush, Jeb Bush clip, and that came on. Sorry about that. Or either that or it was some massive conspiracy. But I don't think so. No. Anyway, no, you're absolutely right. The Price of Loyalty gives a map, in fact, of how they divided up the Iraq oil fields long before September 11th even happened.
That's right. So the question and the answer is an attempt to mislead. That is to say, at the very worst, this was some bad intelligence, some misinformation, not a willful plan on the part of this whole Carlyle group, PNAC group, whatever, Bilderbergers, that it was profitable to them to invade Iraq, and that's why they did it from the get-go. It was so, and asking a question like now, knowing what you know now, no. From the get-go, he's got to say, if he's a shred of honesty, it was all about profits. And to do that, we got to lie our butts off.
Yeah, see, I think it's actually even more difficult for him in the sense that he has to defend the indefensible. I mean, he is running as the president's brother. He doesn't really want to run as the president's brother, I guess. He wants to distinguish himself, just like Hillary Clinton is trying to distinguish herself from Bill Clinton. But this was the signature legacy of the Bush administration. This is the single most important thing they did. I think it was all pretty lousy. But it would be hard to discuss what anything George Bush did without talking about the Iraq War. And he can't say yes or no or I don't know or it's a bad question or let's claim that we're attacking the military. Let's blame Hillary. Let's blame Obama. He can say anything except the truth. Give me a call. 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine talking about Jeb Bush and his various answers on whether or not he agreed or would agree or hypothetically, if we knew then what we knew now, would have agreed with his brother on the Iraq War. So there were a lot of different questions. Well, really, there was only one question. Knowing what we know now, would you have authorized the invasion of Iraq in 2003? There were really lots of answers. Yes, he would have. So would Hillary Clinton. It's all her fault. Second, I don't know. I interpreted the question wrong. It's tough. It's the mistakes were made. The surge was good. And Obama's fault. That was his response to Sean Hannity. I'm not making that up. I'll read to you the direct quote if you want. it's actually as convoluted as what I just read. I was actually shortening it for you. Yeah, what the heck? Let's read what he said on Sean Hannity's show. Here are the direct quote. I interpreted the question wrong, I guess. I was talking about, given what people knew then, would you have done it, knowing what we know now? Clearly, there are mistakes as it related to faulty intelligence in the lead-up to the war and the focus on security. The simple fact is, in the last few years of my brother's presidency, the surge was quite effective to being security, to bring security and stability to Iraq, which was missing in the early days. That security has been totally obliterated by this president's pulling out too early, and now these voids are filled by this barbaric asymmetric threat. I don't know what that decision would have been. That's a hypothetical. Frankly, I think I said it much more clearly than he did. Okay, then the third time, it's, I'm not going to talk about it, because if you talk about it, that's a disservice. This one was the most offensive. This one really was offensive. The idea that examining whether U.S. policy, which led to thousands of American servicemen and women who died, that examining whether or not it was a good idea, given what we know now, that's a disservice to the men and women in the military, is indeed a disservice to the men and women in the military. I can't think of any better question that we should ask in the name and in the memory of the veterans who died than whether or not this former president, the brother of the guy running for president, sent them off to war and to die in vain. This was the ultimate Vietnam question. And people felt they could not question the war in Vietnam because brave men and brave women died due to the war in Vietnam. I think that's atrocious. Are you going to say that because people, honorable people, died in the German Wings plane, that we can't question whether or not the co-pilot should have been able to crash the thing? Are you not going to question any of America's wars? Is it that once the president declares war, which he can't, by the way, Constitution says that Congress is supposed to, is it that once that happens, then all questions are off? We lose our democratic rights? The people, you know, I hate that whole idea of dying in vain. The people who died for fighting for America. They died serving America. They died because they followed the orders of their commanders in chief. They did nothing wrong. It is not at all a disservice to our very brave and courageous veterans, including those that lost their lives, to ask whether or not they should have been there in the first place. It is not a disservice to the firefighters of September 11th who ran into the building when everyone was running out, who did their best to save lives, and so many of them died in the collapse of the towers. It is not a disservice to them to ask whether they should not have had radio equipment that worked so they could have been warned when Building 1 collapsed. And we all knew that Building 2 was going to collapse, and we all knew there were people in there, and every one of us was sitting watching like the Titanic having hit its iceberg, waiting for it to collapse. Okay, none of us expected the first one to fall, but I'm sure you, and I know I, expected the second one to fall once we saw the first one to fall. We couldn't warn those brave firefighters because their radio equipment didn't work. Now, in hindsight, knowing if we had known then what we knew now, we would have told all the second fire group of firefighters to leave because they couldn't save lives. They could only lose their own. That doesn't make their sacrifice any less honorable, brave, or courageous to question whether or not we need better radio equipment. Indeed, it will save the lives of future firefighters to raise these very questions. It does a disservice to the memory of the firefighters who died in 9/11 not to change our systems to prevent needless deaths in the future. It does a disservice to the men and women who died in Vietnam and in Iraq and in Afghanistan and in any of our wars. It does them a disservice for us not to question whether or not we got to war based on faulty intelligence, based on a conspiracy to get oil, or based on anything else. In fact, it does them a service. In fact, it is very much the questions that will say they have not died in vain. So that was really offensive, Jeb Bush. Then the last response. Probably not. He went from, yes, we should have invaded, to I don't know, to I won't talk about it because it's a disservice, to saying, and this is all ABC's rendition of what he said, probably not. Talking about the future is fair. Talking about the past, saying how you would have done something different is tougher. Okay, it's a tough question. We get it. That's why you answered four different things. Of course, given the power of looking back, of course, anybody would have made different decisions. There's no denying that. But to delve into that and not focus on the future, that's where I need to draw the line. I think focusing on the past prevents an uncertain future. I think we've got to look back in the past if we're ever to have any hope of looking forward into the future. And this idea that, well, anybody would have made different decisions. You know, if we had perfect knowledge, everything we would have done is differently, is a great way of whitewashing all the very clear mistakes of the past. Mistakes were made. Yeah, Jeb, whose mistakes? What were those mistakes? How do you plan to stop us from making those mistakes in the future? Those are good questions. And that's why Jeb Bush has to answer this one. Be curious to know what you think, though. This is Mark Levine. Give us a call, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar, and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Jeb Bush, probably the front runner for the Republican nomination for presidency, has tied himself in knots, trying to figure out whether he would have done what his brother did, namely take us to war in Iraq, if he'd known then what we know now, namely that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, no impending nuclear threat, that it would change the region from a stable dictatorship with an awful dictator into the free-for-all that has now caused hundreds of thousands, if not millions, to die when you include Syria. Or die, I should say, die or be refugees. Probably only hundreds of thousands. Don't want to say millions. Don't want to exaggerate. Only hundreds of thousands dead. I think that's pretty sufficient. But in any case, he can't tell what he would have done. And you can understand he's got some difficulty there because, well, he's got to try to get his brother's people on board the campaign. At the same time, he certainly, you know, knows it was a big mess up. I would use a stronger word, but I can't do it on radio. So what have the other Republican presidential candidates said? Well, Ted Cruz says, knowing what we know now, of course we wouldn't go into Iraq. Okay. Chris Christie, I don't think you can honestly say that if we knew then that there was no WMD, that the country should have gone to war. So we have the right wing of the Republican Party and the middle of the Republican establishment of the Republican Party, both throwing Jeb Bush and George Bush under the bus. John Kasich, if the question is, if there were not weapons of mass destruction, should we have gone? The answer would have been no. All righty then. This is all, by the way, clips from, these are excerpts from ABC News. Pretty reliable source. Carly Fiorina, the intelligence was clearly wrong. So have we known the intelligence was wrong? No, I would not have gone in. And I've said publicly on many occasions that going into Iraq was mismanaged and coming out of Iraq was mismanaged. Rand Paul, I think even at the time invading Iraq was a mistake. I thought the war even at the time was a mistake given the intelligence. And he did. Of course, Rand Paul's been all over the map on a number of other things. The point is, it's clearly become fashionable in Republican circles, finally, to admit that the war in Iraq was a mistake. I mean, this is news. This is news. Only in response to Jeb Bush's flub, it's apparent that even Republicans now say something they never said in the last 10 years, in the time of the Bush presidency or soon after. You know what? This was a bad idea. But Marco Rubio, he takes the cake. He tried to one-up Jeb Bush. He tried to resolve the evident difficulty that Jeb Bush had in not wanting to be disloyal to his brother, not wanting to admit his brother had ever made a mistake, and still admit the obvious, which that the war in Iraq was a mistake. So Marco Rubio simply tried to square the circle. If you can't admit George Bush made a mistake, if you got to defend George Bush and at the same time admit the war in Iraq was a mistake, why not just claim that George Bush admitted the war in Iraq was a mistake? And that was Marco Rubio's claim. He said, quote, not only would I not have been in favor of it, President Bush would not have been in favor of it. And he said so. President Bush has said that he regrets that the intelligence was faulty. Ooh, very, very clever. I'm not against George W. Bush. George W. Bush says, knowing then what we know now, I wouldn't have gone to Iraq. Jeb Bush, silly man, you don't have to be tied up in knots. Marco Rubio has your answer. Simply say, yeah, okay, George Bush said that he didn't know the intelligence and he didn't plan this war, and had he known then what he knew now, he wouldn't have gone. But did George Bush say that? Well, according to the fact checker for the Washington Post, the answer is four Pinocchios. No, George Bush has never said, knowing then what we know now, it was a mistake to go into Iraq. Not in his memoir, not in, in any case, has he ever shown any regrets or second thoughts. Here are the facts, according to the Washington Post fact checker. In Bush's 2010 memoir, Decision Points, he said, quote, no one was more shocked or angry than I was when we didn't find the weapons. I had a sickening feeling every time I thought about it. I still do. So he's mad about the false intelligence. But he didn't say that means they shouldn't have gone in. In fact, he celebrated the fact that Saddam Hussein was no longer in power, much like his brother did, much like Jeb Bush did. Inaction would have had consequences. So even knowing what we know now, quote, inaction would have had consequences. Imagine what the world would look like today with Saddam Hussein still ruling Iraq. He would still be threatening his neighbors, sponsoring terror, and piling bodies into mass graves. Huh. Well, Saddam Hussein did threaten Iran in the early 1980s, and he did sponsor some terror, not that much worldwide, but some. He certainly did evil and horrible things during the Iran-Iraq war and was a brutal dictator. But are we really better off now than we were then? George Bush says, hey, we lost one of America's most committed and dangerous enemies. The most volatile region in the world lost one of its greatest sources of violence and mayhem. Well, as the fact checker pointed out, that doesn't sound like any regrets or second thoughts. I don't think Bush perhaps has noticed that getting rid of Iraq's threat has actually increased Iran's threat. A more committed and more dangerous enemy. That before Saddam Hussein lost power, there was no al-Qaeda in Iraq. Now, al-Qaeda is solidly in Iraq. In fact, in his 2014 book, George W. Bush said, quote, one thing is certain, the Iraqi people, United States, and the world are better off without Saddam Hussein in power. I believe the decision I made was correct. That doesn't sound like he has any second thoughts. So, Marco Rubio, nice try. Very clever. I'm not going to blame George Bush. Yeah, mistakes were made, but hey, George Bush has said mistakes were made. No, he hasn't, Marco Rubio. You must make a choice. You must say the former president was wrong, or you must say the war in Iraq was right. You cannot have it both ways. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Reggie in Georgia on line 5. Welcome to the show.
Happy Monday to you, Mark.
Happy Monday, Reggie.
Well, why is it that everybody keeps blaming Hillary Clinton for not answering questions for the past 20 days, but yet and still, whenever somebody asks Jeb Bush a question, he likes to duck and dodge questions, you know, like a ball about the Iraqi war. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I'll tell you, I actually think he's been hoisted on his own petard. I mean, I don't think the media is letting him get away with it. I think they're hammering him hard, and I'm fine with that. I think he deserves it.
So do I. So do I. And don't let him get away with anything. I mean, they did it to Hillary Clinton and her husband for 20 years, over 20 years. Why not do the same to him and his brother? You know what I'm saying there, Mark?
Sure. No, absolutely. Look, I think that both – it's going to be interesting. If this turns out to be a Clinton-Bush race – of course, we've already had a Clinton-Bush race. We had one in 1992. If this turns out to be a Clinton-Bush race, it's going to be fascinating to watch Hillary Clinton and what she agrees or disagrees with what her husband did, and Jeb Bush and whether he agrees or disagrees with what his brother did. I think that's why so many Americans don't like the idea of another Clinton-Bush race. And yet, right. I think it's going to happen. I've predicted it. I could be wrong, but I've predicted it for a year now. It's going to be Hillary Clinton versus Jeb Bush. I think that the power of money in politics and the power of just dynasties in politics matters. And I think that Hillary Clinton for sure has the Democratic nomination. I don't see anyone who could come even close. I don't even think Elizabeth Warren could have beaten her, though she would have been the toughest. Definitely the one that would have given Hillary the biggest run for her money. But with Elizabeth Warren out of the race, Martin O'Malley, Jim Webb, Bernie Sanders, no, she's got the nomination. Again, you may not like that. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm telling you it's going to happen. You could disagree with it. You could say that's fine. But I'm being predictive here, not prescriptive. Now, on the Republican side, who else is it going to be? Scott Walker, maybe? I guess that's possible.
Right.
I don't see how it could possibly be Rand Paul, who's changed his position so many times and is hated by the establishment. And I don't see anybody else. Chris Christie, not after Bridgegate. Ted Cruz, the guy's wacko. I think it's going to be Jeb Bush. And what's going to happen is both of them are going to have the interesting question of how they're going to distance themselves from their more famous relatives.
What about Carly? What's her name?
Yeah, that's a joke. Next.
Yeah, you're right, it is a joke.
Or Ben Carson. Next.
Yeah.
Exactly. Never mind. Those don't matter. They're not even worth my time mentioning their names.
Right. And why is it that he's answering four different questions, the same question with four different answers?
Because he's stuck. He's stuck, Reggie. He doesn't want to say the truth and at the same time insult his brother, but the only truth is to insult his brother. That's the problem. Right. He's got to decide which is more important to him, truth or protecting his loyalty to his brother. And if he decides that his loyalty to his brother is more important than the truth, well, I think Hillary Clinton's going to be our next president. That's my view. Thanks for your call, Reggie. Hey, folks, if you want to call in tomorrow, please do so. We're going to have a terrific guest. And hey, if you want to actually let me know what you think, go ahead, send me a tweet. Send it to Mark Levine Talk, or follow me on Facebook, Mark Levine Talk. Go to my website, marklevinetalk.com. I'll talk to you tomorrow. For now, I'm signing off.